Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
It's cross-sport pollination because one of the most famous baseball players of all time said this, but it's deja vu all over again for the Cincinnati Bengals. They have a young, great, promising quarterback lifting them to new heights, and Joe Burrow is out with a left knee injury, tweeting the news himself. For many, it made people think back to about 15 years ago, almost 20 years ago, when the great Carson Palmer was drafted first overall by the Cincinnati Bengals in 2003. In 2005, to show you how great this guy was out of the gate, in 2005, just a couple years after sitting behind John Kitna for that 1 year, 32 touchdown passes, Bengals were 11-5, the Bengals were on their way, and then Carson in a playoff game had his knee injured, much like Burrow had it injured in a regular season game. He understands the perspective of Burrow, and he understands what it's like to be a Bengals signal caller. And he joins us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. He's also got experience with Bruce Arians. We'll talk about that with Tom Brady tonight, and it's great to have him here. Good morning, Carson. What was your reaction with your personal experience when you saw what happened to Joe yesterday?
Well, the first thing I thought was it's a blessing in disguise. I mean, they're a two-win team. They're not going to the playoffs. They're not winning the Super Bowl this year. Joe was getting the absolute lung beat out of him every week. I mean, you go back to the Pittsburgh game a couple weeks before that against Baltimore. He was just getting hammered up and down the field. So, you know, unfortunately, it's a knee injury. But, for the rest of his body not to take the wear and tear of the next 5 or 6 weeks the way he was taking it the first 7 or 8 weeks, I think it's a blessing in disguise. You know, now he has some time to let his body heal up, get his knee right. They'll have a higher draft pick and start all over again next season and hopefully have a better team around him.
Carson, how you doing, bud?
I'm great, Key. Good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, man. I don't want to put you on the spot with this because I know at times you had a kind of rough relationship with the Cincinnati Bengals, but does this kind of, I don't know, put the blame on the Bengals for the offensive line not being intact?
No, I mean, it's at the end of the day, he was the number one overall pick, and he went to the worst team. And they're not going to get good overnight. But it's going to take time. It's going to take years. Like I said, I mean, he was getting just crushed week in, week out. And I loved his toughness. I loved his resiliency. He bounced back up and continued to play, continued to fight, and they're a bad football team at the end of the day. I'd like to see him throwing the ball less. I mean, he was throwing the ball 40-something times a game. As a rookie, that's too much. You know, you can't have so much on your shoulders. But that team will continue to grind. They'll continue to get better, hopefully. Like I said, without Joe now, they're probably going to wind up with a top one or two pick in the draft. And so they'll have a chance to trade it if there's a quarterback sitting there and get more picks and get more draft capital, which is exactly what they need right now.
You're listening to Carson Palmer, former NFL quarterback, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning. If it is an ACL, Carson, what type of recovery is Joe facing?
It's a grind. I mean, at the end of the day, when you blow your ACL out and they go in, they cut you open, they have to go in and retie it or put a new ACL in. So you back up and you just got to start over again. You got to teach yourself how to walk, how to jog, how to run, how to jump. But nowadays, I mean, it's guys are recovering so much faster now than they used to. It used to be a 12-month deal. Now it's like an 8-month deal. So, you know, the good news is Joe has plenty of time. We all have heard stories about how hard he works, how focused, how serious he is. So just knowing the little bit that the public knows about the way that Joe works and the way he grinds, he'll be back within 8 months. He'll be ready to play and hopefully the first preseason game, but maybe the third preseason game of next season, and he'll be fine at the end of the day.
Carson, the Bucs play the Rams on Monday Night Football this evening. You play for Bruce Arians. What are your thoughts on how he's openly criticized Tom Brady?
Well, that's just Bruce. I mean, Bruce has never been one to bite his tongue around the media. And he won't say anything in the media that he doesn't say in the team auditorium when he's speaking to the team. So, you know, you got to have tough skin and thick skin. And we know that Brady has tough skin and thick skin from all his years of New England and his experience in the league. But it just comes hand in hand. When you play for Bruce, you need to be ready. You know, you're after a loss, you walk into that team room, you never know who he's going to start off on in that first team meeting after a tough loss. You never know what he's going to say in the media. And Brady, I think, you know, Brady played for Belichick. I think he's totally okay with somebody getting on him and yelling and screaming. And I know Bruce does that too. So it's just part of the deal. When you play for Bruce, you got to be ready for it.
Carson, I got to quickly mention one thing. Key's going to get a kick out of this. I know many people in the TV world have been asking you to do more of this, and it's pretty obvious why we're listening to you break it down this morning. I know you're in California this morning. You spend a lot of time there in Idaho and Key. I was near Carson's place. I'm not going to reveal Carson's location, but I was at a restaurant called the Pioneer Saloon. Big place, taxidermy, deer, all that stuff on the wall, prime rib, the baked potato. The article recently written, Carson actually gave the commencement speech at the high school there, the community school, doing great things in the community there. And I think somebody was at the restaurant, Carson, correct me if I'm wrong, and they recognized me. They said, wait, Carson Palmer from USC? And they sent over a bottle of wine. Do I have that right?
You have speakers and cameras everywhere. How do you know this stuff?
Carson, I'm telling you, he does it every damn show with us. You're like, where does that come from?
He's very sneaky.
Cannot reveal my sources, but it is great that, you know, look, you won the Heisman Trophy, what, 2002, right? Who's your Heisman Trophy? Right. Who are you going to vote for? Because you got a lifetime vote as a winner.
This year, that's a really good question. It's been so hard to watch college football it seems like every other game's getting canceled. I don't know right now. I mean, there's so much football that needs to be played and so little football that's been played so far. My Trojans have only played three games and we beat Utah on Saturday night, and it was Utah's first game in November. So, if I had to pick somebody right now, I would throw Keaton Slovis in there. He's played really, really well, the quarterback at SC. And when he's needed to at the last down of the game and the last second of the game, he's found a way to get his Trojans to 3-0. So that's where my pick is right now. But there's still a lot of college football left to be played. Yeah.
Fight on, Key.
Yeah, well, Carson knows what to do. I don't even need to say anything. Carson knows what's right. He knows who to pick.
Great stuff.
Keaton over a bottle of wine? How do you know that?
I cannot reveal my sources, but I would definitely recommend the Pioneer Saloon if you're ever in Ketchum, Idaho. Carson, thank you so much for joining. It was great to catch up with you.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great day.
All right, Carson.
You too, Carson.
Great guy. Carson Palmer. So here we go. Monday Night Football. You kind of mentioned it, Jay.
I'm still in awe. How did you find that location? How do you?
He was up there backpacking or something, right?
Yeah, I was out there. Yeah. I was out there.
Oh, he was right. You were there
with my bear spray.
Yeah,
my fishing line.
He had all that
snowshoeing, all that sort of stuff.
Told you he's very sneaky.
Not a lot of people out there. So you mentioned
COVID free.
You mentioned BA tonight. Obviously, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians tonight. It's going to be the Bucks. And it's going to be the Rams on Monday Night Football. And we're going to get into this with our special guest here in just a couple of minutes. But I want to mention this game, as you may have heard, is going to be the first game in the 101-year history of the National Football League in which every single official on the field is going to be African-American. Now, this is something the league announced a little over a week ago, and it's gotten tremendous acclaim. And before I talk to one of the most prominent African-American officials in league history, I just want to give a shout out, a little history lesson here, if you would oblige so much, especially with you two fellas. It's important to mention tonight a guy by the name of Burl Toler, B-U-R-L. Burl was the first African-American official ever in the NFL, and he was an outstanding player himself. Key, you would appreciate this, a guy that's a former player that went on to do great things. He played for the 1951 University of San Francisco Dons, which is generally known as a basketball school
basketball
in the 60s,
school.
Right? But this is the University of San Francisco Dons. He played with Gino Marchetti. He played with Ollie Mattson. Those guys were inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The athletic publicity director, so like the communications director for that team, Pete Rozelle, who went on to become the NFL commissioner. So I just want to give a tip of the cap to Jerome Boger, who will be tonight's crew chief. We're going to talk to Mike Carey, who was one of the most prominent African-American officials in the NFL, in just a moment. But just a tip of the cap, because always, as you guys know in sports, somebody's got to come first. And Burl Toler, who is no longer with us, he has died. But I just wanted to mention he's the first African-American official in NFL history. And tonight, fellas, every single guy on the field will be an African-American official. It's a great, it's a really great moment.
No, it's cool. It's really going to be cool. You know, and when you think about it, you know, things have come a long ways just in general in life and society as a whole. But to be able to put an entire crew together just shows you how far and how long the NFL has gone to do these things. I mean, it's great. And they put it on a national stage. They didn't like have it on a Sunday buried in the Detroit Lion. I don't know. Give me a bad team. Detroit and Jets game, you know, in Detroit. They kind of Monday night, big stage. It's going to be cool. It's going to be real cool.
I think it's monumental. There is also a part of me, it's kind of like my dad, where I'm like, man, it's 2020. It took that long to do something like that. I guess you had to do it with intent, but the fact that it's done, like, that's what it should be, though, right? I mean, your referee should look like how the country looks, and it should be diverse, and, you know, that's the way it should be.
Well, I think it probably, you know, in terms of the NFL, the diverse part of it, how many people are out there that's African-American that really – how many really wanted to become referees, so to speak, right? Is there enough? To your point, though, Jay, maybe it should have been done a while ago, but it's being done tonight.
I understand. So yeah. I'm with you.
That's the fun part about it. It's being done tonight.
This is going to be a little bit controversial, but it's like I see it. I recognize it. I don't know if I just stand up and applaud it. Like, yeah, like I feel like these are things like when you're a leader as far as organizations, like you have to do things with intent, right? And that's why I said it's 2020.
It takes to be pushed.
I agree.
Certain things to get people's attention.
That's true.
And then they realize, right? They realize, you know what, we might want to think about doing this. And maybe Troy Vincent mentioned it to him and got him to push to do it. And because everything else that's going on in our country, it's like, okay, all right. Yeah, we're going to do it. Think about some of the commercials that you see now. Some of the commercials that you see now, you would have never seen 15, 20 years ago at all. You just wouldn't. You're just like, no, they would never run that. They would never show that. But now it's like everything that we've gone and we've been dealing with over the last year and a half or year or so, or even longer than that. But what has happened over the last year has certainly pushed the envelope on a whole bunch of stuff.
No, and I'm with you. I guess, you know, when you first made mention of it last week, I was shocked almost in the gram. Like, oh, we haven't had this before? But I understand.
Because usually what it would be reserved for is Black History Month. Mm-hmm. And there's no football being played. Maybe the NBA or something like that, you would look at and say, oh, all Black officiating crew in the NBA. But guess what? That's all the time in the NBA. You get three, four brothers. How many is it in basketball? Three, right? Or four?
Three.
Yeah, you get three officials on the basketball court all the time. But in football, it's not like that. So if it was like in the past, and let's say, for instance, Black History Month was doing football season, I guarantee you 100% you would have seen it.
Indeed. Let's head to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. As I mentioned, Burl Toler was the first. The most prominent likely is Mike Carey. You may not recognize the name, but if you've watched football at any point in the last several years, well, you do, Key, you certainly recognize Mike. Mike, good morning. I want to mention
a few calls that I was on.
No. Come on. The refs are always right. They're human. You got to cut them a break. Mike, good morning. Jerome Boger is the crew chief. But before I ask you this question, I just want to make sure we mention every single name of the guys that are going to be out there. And Mike, I know you're watching with a lot of pride. So Jerome Boger, the crew chief. Barry Anderson is the umpire. The down judge is Julian Mapp. The line judge is Carl Johnson. The field judge is Dale Shaw. The side judge is Anthony Jeffries. And the back judge is Greg Steed. As an African-American official yourself, when you see these guys trot onto the field tonight, what does it mean to you?
Well, first of all, hello, fellas. And Keyshawn, get your act together, bro. it is really a seminal moment, and it's for all Americans, I think, and especially for those seven who are going to take the field. Anytime you have a landmark game, you are just proud as hell to be there. Can I say hell on ESPN?
You can.
Yeah.
Can you say worse, Mike? Don't worry about it.
And for them, I'm just so happy, because anytime you get seven men and women, I say women because if you think about it, it's going to happen. When we think about it, that's going to happen too. It just brings great pride and joy to should be to all Americans.
Mike, is it more special that it's on a primetime Monday night football game and the world will be watching and it gets more attention?
Keyshawn, you know, the bigger the game, the bigger the enjoyment is. You know, if you are a competitor and you want to contribute, you want the biggest play on the biggest game on the biggest night. So, yes, it makes a lot more difference to everybody who's on the field.
Mike, you know, he and I were just kind of having this conversation, and I wanted to get your temperature on it. See, for me, I sit here, and obviously it's a monumental thing to have the first all-black officiating crew. But there's also a part of me, when I heard Zubin say this the other day, I was kind of taken back. I'm like, it's 2020. Shouldn't this be things that have already happened? Like, should we really applaud something that should be normal in our game? How do you feel about that?
Jay, I think you hit it on the head. I think there's two sides of this coin. First of all, yes, we want to really applaud it, really shout it from the mountaintop, because it is important, because it hasn't happened before. And we want to make sure all of America and the world knows that this should be the norm. And when you think about the other side of it is that, yeah, it's 2020, and this is the first time it's happened. It's not that there aren't enough quality black officials to have seven black officials on multiple games for multiple years, but there has not been the will to let that happen. And I think anytime you have change and positive change, it requires a lot of risk, and the NFL has not shown the ability to risk maybe this gruntling part of their base to do something that's best for society, and they have changed the way they operate with this move, and we just hope that it's not the last of the moves. You know, they made the first move back in 1965 by Hiram Burrell, who was Burrell Toler, the very first African-American professional official. But it took him 25 years to let Johnny Greer become the first African-American referee. And since then, there have been many opportunities for that to happen, and they have systematically kept the count of black officials to maybe one or maybe two on the field at a time, which it defies the law of averages and numbers. But now they're making a big move, and I think that's very important. And let's hope they continue this move. For instance, it's done a good thing. Roger Goodell's done a good thing. They got to do more good things.
Mike Carey, former NFL referee, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Mike, you were the first African-American referee to work the Super Bowl. How big was that at that time for you?
Well, it's the biggest game in the land, so it's big for every official that steps on the field. But because of the significance of it, I got there because I rode on the shoulders of some great officials, and African-American mentors who have helped me get to where I got. You know, the first one should have been Johnny. You know, why'd they wait so long? But when I got the call, I was happy to represent my family, my community, and all African-Americans, and a sign that not only for African-Americans, but little kids at home, black, people of color, women, now they can think that everybody can do this in sports. I have that opportunity everywhere in life. Well, the same year that Barack got elected, too. That's pretty nice.
Oh, was it? I didn't know that. I didn't know it was the same.
Yeah,
that's pretty good, huh?
2008. Yeah. That's excellent, yeah.
Super Bowl 42, yep. Hey, last thing for you. This is something a lot of people may not know about you. And, you know, for many people, not for the fellas I'm sitting here with that have been fighting this fight and people that have been asking for more equality. But in years past, it came out a few years ago after you retired, went into television a little bit, that for years you would ask off of Redskins games. I'm going to use the term Redskins in this particular term because it adds context. You went to the league years ago and says, do not put me and do not make me officiate any games involving the Washington Redskins. People have come to a reckoning with that in 2020, Mike, but what was the impetus for you to go to the league years ago and say, I don't want to do that?
Well, it took me a while to really figure it out, and then it took me a while to realize that by me going to the league, it could very well have meant the end of my career. However, you know, there's another social justice issue. Native Americans have been really disenfranchised, and by having such a derogatory name of a team, one of the last in America to do that, I just couldn't. For everybody who fought for African Americans in the Civil Rights era and continuing on today, I just realized that I just could not be on the field supporting that situation. And so it was a tough decision, but, you know, we have to do tough things if we want to have good change. It takes hard work to change.
There's no doubt about it. Someone's got to be first. As I mentioned, Burl Toller was first. You mentioned Greer, you mentioned your impact at Super Bowl 42 and these seven men tonight with the world watching. Really appreciate your perspective this morning, Mike. Thank you very much.
Mike,
thank you
so pick much, up that Mike. Flag.
Tisha, don't make me throw it.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, see you guys.
He was a fun ref, though. You know, was one
did
of,
he talk to you?
Oh, my God, yes. He always gave me the benefit of doubt on stuff, though. He was always protective. He was like the way it's supposed to be. He didn't have any hidden agendas. Some, you know, some refs at times, they feel like they have hidden agendas. But with Mike was cool. He got it right. He got it right all the time.
I give him a lot of credit. I mean, just hear him say, you know, yeah, I was the first black referee in a Super Bowl game in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Just let that settle in for a minute.
I didn't hold him. Yes, you did. I didn't hold him. Yes, you did. How did I hold him? What do you mean? You put your arms around him, you know, just... I remember one time he told me I was coming over to argue a call. He just gave me the hand. Just like, don't come over here. And he,
oh, we had somebody like that in
six
college
feet away.
Basketball.
Watch
Teddy
out.
Teddy Valentine.
TV Teddy.
Oh, he would do that to you in a heartbeat. Like, Teddy, like, no. Like, it was just, I mean, characters. I love it.
Yeah, they used to call this guy TV Teddy because he loved showing up on TV when he was demonstrative with calls. And as you can see with Mike Carey, it's holding, 10-yard penalty. And, of course, Key, it's still first down. It is still first down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We're also presented by Sport Clips. Remember being at Sport Clips waiting for that great MVP haircut experience? How about making that wait time even shorter? Now with on-deck text alerts, get a 15-minute heads up when it's time to head in and another text alert when you're next in line. Sport Clips, it's good to be a guy. As crazy as this sounds on the surface, and it doesn't seem possible because they're both in the NFC, why tonight's Monday Night Football game is actually a Super Bowl rematch. We'll explain when we return on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Rams have been playing some really good football. So have the Bucks. Here we go on Monday Night Football with the first African-American officiating crew in NFL history. All of them, including the crew chief, Jerome Boger, African-American. It's a big thing. We talked about it with Mike Carey, who was an African-American. That was the official, the referee of Super Bowl 42. Lou Riddick is here, also breaking barriers as an African-American analyst on Monday Night Football. Booger McFarland has been there. O.J. Simpson has been there. That list is not very long. And Lou, is on that list. He joins us this morning. Biggest stage in sports, Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. And no, I am not comparing him in any way to Orenthal James Simpson.
I just started laughing.
I looked at you like,
I know Lou probably sitting there going, yeah, I'll take the booger comparison, but the other guy, not so much.
Easy, Zoom.
OJ would say allegedly, but this is officially, Lou is officially joining us for the Monday Night Football preview. Let's try to get this thing back on the tracks before I careen it off the road. All right, here we go. So it's a Super Bowl rematch, as I mentioned. It's not really a Super Bowl rematch between the Bucs and the Rams. It's a Super Bowl rematch between Tom Brady and Jared Goff. Lou, you'll remember in that Super Bowl, the 10-3 win for the Pats, one of the craziest stats in modern NFL times. In that Super Bowl, there was one play run in the red zone. One play run in the red zone the entire game. That was a Sony Michel big touchdown to help win it for the Pats. As Brady and Goff see each other again tonight a couple years later, what's the feeling?
There's a lot on the line, and I think both coaching staffs have admitted that, especially, you know, the Bucs have some big-time games coming up. This could be a statement game for the Rams because they beat up on the NFC East. Yes, they beat Seattle, and they beat them convincingly last week. They looked very good doing so. But this is a statement game for them. Like I said, the Bucs feel like right now they're about to hit a streak where they're going to really define their season. They're a young football team outside of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, guys who don't have a lot of big game experience. So they want to find out a lot about themselves tonight. And look, despite that, you're going to have two teams that are very good on defense. I mean, the Rams are playing defense, I think, in a way that the country's going to find out is pretty darn good. And we know how Todd Bowles plays his style of defense. I think this could be a game where the offenses really get going and you could see, you know, combined 70 type point type of game. I hope it is that way just because I know that's what fans want. So I know us down here right now getting ready to, you know, head over to the stadium in a few hours, you know, we're chomping at the bit to get going on this game for sure.
Lewis, you talk about huge implications in this game as far as the race for the number one seed goes in the NFC. Which team needs it more?
You know, I would probably, you know, for a number of different reasons, Keyshawn, I think Tampa does because they need the momentum to continue with this football team because of how young it is. Because although Tom has a lot of experience, and like I said, Gronk has the experience, this is still a team that's really trying to figure out, they're really trying to come together and really establish who they are, especially in these big game moments. And they're so green, so young on defense. They need to come out and they need to not only win this game, they need to play fast right from the get-go and not put it on Tom's shoulders to come to lead them back second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter with a bunch of big plays and have to throw the ball over the yard. So I think they really do. I think the Rams know who they are right now. It's just whether or not it's going to be good enough, we're going to find out. But they know that they're a run-first team, play-action team, play to the strength of their defense, which right now is playing lights out. So they know who they are. It's just, are they good enough to compete with the big boys in the NFC overall? They think they are. You know how confident Sean is, McVay. So this is a heavyweight battle for sure tonight.
It's big boy ball, as you like to say. When you think about the getting at Tom Brady and disrupting things, putting the pressure on him, being around his foot, knocking him down, picking him back up and knocking him down again, is there a better team equipped for this other than the Rams?
No, because they can assault the middle of the pocket better than anybody with Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers. I mean, these two guys, Aaron in particular, it's hard to get away from Aaron and hard to help with him in a way that you could help with a wide rusher. And if you look at the Saints game 2 weeks ago, that's what the Saints did to Tom. They assaulted the A and B gaps over and over and over again. Ali Marpet may not play tonight. They're starting left guard, who right now is playing at an all-pro level. So now they have to make two moves to really take care of one position. They move the center, Ryan Jensen, to left guard, put A.Q. Shipley at center. That makes them weaker. And that, if you're Aaron Donald, you're going, perfect. That's exactly what I want. Now I'm going to figure that now Brandon Staley, the D coordinator, is going to try and figure out ways to get Aaron one-on-one against A.Q. Shipley or Ryan Jensen. And that's not what Tom wants. You know how that is. You were just talking about it. So they're set up to really give this offense fits. Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich are going to have to come up with answers. Again, what makes this game all the more intriguing.
Lou, the Raiders fell a little bit short to the Chiefs last night. But there's no doubt the Raiders are on the right track. How much credit does Gruden deserve for them being on this path?
Oh, he deserves a ton. You know, him and Mike Mayock, the GM out there together, have, over the past 2 years, they've put together a nice roster that has been put together in such a way to counteract exactly what Kansas City can do, which is, first and foremost, light you up like a Christmas tree whenever they feel like it because of all the firepower they have. So they knew that they needed to get younger and faster, particularly on offense, to where they could run it and strike you in the passing game downfield. And they've got the people who can do that now. And the quarterback now is willing to do that. And you heard him last night, and you were listening to the audio. Derek is in total command of that offense now. And people don't want to always give him credit. He's been easy to kind of criticize during his career for whatever reason people want to criticize him, whether it be connections to his brother during his time in Houston, whatever it is. But he's playing at an all-pro level right now, and he showed that last night. Defensively, they still have a little bit more work to do. They still need some more firepower up front as far as rushing the passer. But they're right there now. You know, in a one-off single elimination type of situation, I don't care if you're Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Kansas City, whoever in the AFC, the Colts, you don't want to play the Raiders. Because in a one-off game, they have as much firepower to beat anybody, and it's not the same old Raiders, that's for sure.
Louis Riddick, ESPN Monday Night Football analyst, not Orenthro James Simpson.
Oh, come on.
Z, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, it's Zubin. What should Doug Peterson do with Carson Wentz, man? What should he do?
Bro, I wish I knew. That's a tough situation for them. Because he's not, look, even when it's clean and it's all right, sometimes, you know, Carson makes a throw where you're just like, what's that? What are you doing? I mean, you just missed the guy for whatever reason. Then he'll go and he'll try to make plays that you know aren't there to be made. Then he puts his team in jeopardy because he turns the ball over. And we know that offensive line-wise, you saw it yesterday. You saw how bad this offensive line looked. It's not the same. I mean, as much as I love Jason Peters, he's not the same left tackle that he was, you know, 8 years ago when I was in Philly. So there's so many things breaking down around him. But on top of it, Carson isn't doing the things that he necessarily needs to do given what the expectations are for him, considering the money they gave him. So right now, but the alternative is to turn to Jalen Hurts, who isn't ready. They know he's not ready. That's why when they drafted him, they knew he wasn't going to be ready to play in this offense to the level that they need to be, that they need that position to execute, which is why people criticize them like they did for drafting him in the first place, given all the other things that they needed. They're in a bad spot, Keyshawn. They're just in a flat-out bad spot right now because now you see what's happening. The Redskins are actually – excuse me.
Don't worry,
that.
We
the
all
Washington
do
football
it.
Team is, yeah, the Washington football team is playing a little bit better. The Giants, love them or hate them, love Joe Judge or hate him, his situation, Mark Colombo, all that BS, they're playing a lot better. And all of a sudden yesterday, Dallas decided to show up this year. The Eagles could wind up, you know, missing the playoffs totally, which wouldn't be a shock to anybody. And so now they're in a real bad spot. Now they got next Monday night, we'll be in Philly covering them against Seattle. So they're in a tough spot, and it isn't looking real good.
There's no doubt about it. That's a huge game between Seattle and Philadelphia a week from tonight. But first, tonight's huge game between the Bucs and the Rams. Steve Levy, Brian Griese, Lou Riddick, Lisa Salters, and a magical historical moment for the NFL with an all-African-American officiating crew. Should be quite the scene. We'll look for you tonight, mm-hmm. Lou. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
you got
Lou.
It. All right. Thanks a lot.
The Monday Night Football Preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. We have to bid adieu to J. Will. We'll see you first thing tomorrow morning,
tomorrow
right?
Tomorrow morning, yep. Going to see my little son on the way to be.
How about that?
Already it's got called the little an anatomy girl? Scan, Key. Stop.
No, I'm saying it's 9:30.
We're going
man.
To break.
10 We're o'clock. Going to break. Dog, you leave her early. You come in, leave her early. See, that's why we can't.
Okay.
Last one in, first one out.
Hey, stop.
Hang on a second. Jay's got to recite these words. After I tell you, Dabo made some eyebrow-raising comments this weekend, and now his boss is raising some eyebrows with comments of his own.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You know, normally when we say one more thing before we let you go, it's sort of a flippant thing. It's something we're thinking about. It's something not that serious, but it's a little different this morning. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. So over the weekend, the big story with Florida State and Clemson should have been the return to action for Trevor Lawrence. He'd been out with COVID. You saw what they did against Boston College, rallying to win that double overtime loss to Notre Dame. As Key mentioned, perhaps a rematch with Notre Dame in the ACC title game. But we wanted to see Trevor back, putting himself back into Heisman contention. But the game was called off between Florida State and Clemson because, according to our Andrea Adelson, who covers the ACC for ESPN, a Clemson offensive lineman tested positive for COVID-19 on Friday. That's after he showed symptoms and practiced with the Tigers during the week. Clemson tested him again, showed up negative after that. Clemson takes the buses down to Tallahassee. $300,000 transportation trip. Why? Because Clemson used 9 buses to be socially distant, 9 buses to bring the 85 and all the support staff down there. Florida State balked and said, we don't want to play the game. Dabo Swinney said, we've undergone all the protocols that are necessary. You don't want to play the game because you are scared of us. Listen to this.
This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. And to be honest with you, I don't think it has anything to do with their players. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game. And if they want to play Clemson, in my opinion, they need to come to Clemson or they need to pay for all expenses. Other than that, there's no reason for us to play them. We were there, we were ready, and we met the standards.
Key, there's going to be some fallout from this. Let me get your thoughts before we hear late breaking this morning from Dabo's boss.
Dabo is just, I mean, look, man, he likes to talk, and a lot of it is recruiting tools, and it's the showmanship of college football. This is who we are. We're Clemson. We're big back Clemson. Florida State, you know, the Bobby Bowden days are over. We're not afraid of you anymore. That's all it is. Clemson recruits big in the Florida area. And they go up against Florida State for some of the talent in that area. So that's all it is. And you know, as far as paying the money back and doing all that, I mean, just calm down, man.
It's a great point you make. For a program like Clemson, you would think they would recruit nationally. Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, USC, they all recruit nationally. But if you look at Clemson's roster, it's a lot of like ETN's from Louisiana, Trevor Lawrence is from Georgia. They got a lot of guys from that regional part of the country. They don't leave the Southeast very much.
They'll go if you're in, because it's a long ways to go, to come and get a kid from California. DJ went all the way from California, from LA to South Carolina. I mean, right. Go figure. That's a long ways to go. You're flying over a lot of schools to get there. You may get one. You know, you may get two guys that are really want to be a part of something special and winning championships. I get it. But as far as trying to build your team like that, no, they're going to stick right around the Carolinas, the Georgia area. Within, they may come grab a guy from Jersey or something, but for the most part, they're going to play their region.
Indeed. So Clemson is more driven to play Saturday, clearly. More driven, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So you heard Dabo essentially say, look, Florida State is scared of us. Florida State firing back and saying, look, we're ready to play you in December. We just didn't want to play you last Saturday. Dan Radakovich is Clemson's athletic director. This morning, he was on Packer and Durham on the ACC network and defended Dabo.
He's passionate, and that's what makes him great. That's what makes him the great coach that he is for the student athletes that wear the purple and orange and the people here, because he is their biggest advocate, and he should be. So I think that, you know, his comments, while maybe a little disheartening to some, really were his feelings.
That is Dan Radakovich, the Clemson AD on Packer and Durham on the ACC Network. Quick aside, Packer is Mark Packer, Billy Packer's son. Looks exactly like him. So just a little note for the college basketball fans, since the season is starting in 2 days. Now, one interesting thing that Radakovich also said was this. Dabo was talking over the weekend as if Florida State had no right to play the game because Clemson had passed all of the protocols and everything that had been met had been set, and there had been games in the ACC played this season with exactly Clemson's situation. Here's the positivity, here's the testing, here's what happened. Those games went on. Why in the world wouldn't this game go on? And Key, this just stands to reason. In the ACC, you cannot quote-unquote test out. Do you remember when Nick Saban tested out a few weeks ago? Three negatives, he's good, he'll coach against Georgia. The ACC won't let you test out. The SEC clearly will for coaches. The Big 12 says you got to have 53 guys and 7 offensive linemen. The Big 10 says you're out for 3 weeks. It's just a total jumbled mess.
It is, but if Florida State says that they have positive tests on their team and they don't want to play, okay, that's good. That's smart. That's good and that's smart. They don't want to spread it to your team. They want to be active in making sure that things are healthy and go away before they step back on the field. What's wrong with? I don't understand what's wrong with that. There shouldn't be anything wrong with that, because Florida State decided that, you know what? Yeah, we probably don't want to play. The guy to the kid tested on positive on Friday.
Correct.
You were to play on Saturday. It wasn't like he tested on Wednesday, it was Friday. I understand that you spent money. Okay, how much money have the university made? They can't write down $300,000?
Should be a rounding error for them.
I mean, like, seriously, like $300,000 to Clemson over the last 10 years of the money that they've made from that university and football appearances in these bowl games and everything. They got plenty of money. Quick, they got a huge surplus.
Real quick, because you got a ton of swag, ton of confidence. If you're a Florida State player and saying, come on now, we're scared of you? I understand Clemson's a better team, but if you're a kid.
I'm not listening to that. No, I'm not listening to that. It's not. It has nothing to do with being scared. It has something to do with the situation that we're in with COVID. Like, wake up. Like, wake up. But that's that part of the region. They think differently. That's all I can say.
That's fair enough. If you're wondering, Trevor Lawrence's return, instead of coming against Florida State last Saturday, will come against Pittsburgh this Saturday. We'll break down Monday Night Football when we see you first thing tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.
Well, Lewis, never mind.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.